It is the tradition of the church on Good Friday to consider the seven last words Jesus spoke from the cross. Not only were each of these statements words of anguish spoken by our suffering Savior, but they also offer deep theological reflection about the miserable event that unfolded on that dark day. Matthew and Mark, they jointly note one of these statements, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Three more words are recorded by Luke in his gospel, and three more come from the gospel of John. And later in our service, we will read through these together. But there is an eighth word spoken from the cross, and it appears in all four of the Gospels. Rather than coming from the lips of Jesus, it was proclaimed from the cross in writing that was presumably above his head. These words were written on a sign which read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. John tells us that it was inscribed in three different languages, in Aramaic, which was a variation of Hebrew that the Jewish people at that time spoke. It was written in Latin, the official language of the government of Rome. And it was written in Greek, which was also an official language of Rome, but that was the language that most people spoke throughout the Roman Empire. The seven statements that Jesus made, they were heard by only a few who happened to be close to him in those brief moments when he spoke. But these written words, they were seen and understood by every person passing by for hours on end, no matter how close or how far they were away. If they looked towards the cross, they would have been able to read these signs. It was written in three languages to be sure this message was driven home to one and all. Of course, these words were either carved into wood or painted with some kind of paint by the Roman guards as they placed it on the sign and then hung it above Christ on the cross. It was the Roman practice to highlight the crime that had been committed that led to crucifixion, hopefully to discourage others from following suit. But nevertheless, we can only assume that as divinely inspired as the words were which Jesus spoke from the cross that day with his mouth, these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, were equally inspired by God, divinely proclaimed from the cross, recorded for us to read and to consider even to this day. And I say this because it's quite clear that the authorities in that day, the chief priests, the Roman prefect, Pontius Pilate, neither of them, they did not want that sign to hang above Jesus' head. We know this is the case for Pilate because John tells us in his gospel that Pilate had no intention of sentencing Jesus to crucifixion. After the Jewish leaders had brought Jesus to Pilate and demanded that he put him to death, Pilate took Jesus to a place alone and spoke with him. And a little while later, Pilate emerged and he spoke with the chief priests and said to them, I find no basis to charge this man. And Pilate came up with a politically expedient way for everyone to save face. He essentially said, look, I'll declare him guilty, but then we'll use that tradition of leniency. We'll release one person Jewish prisoner. You know, they did that each year during Passover as a gesture of goodwill to the Jewish people. The Romans would do that. But the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, they refused to accept this. So Pilate tried another tact. He had soldiers flog Jesus. They dug a crown of thorns into his head. They dressed him as a faux king in a purple robe. They struck him on his head. He was hoping that this humiliation would satiate the bloodlust of Jesus' accusers. But it didn't. The chief priests, they continued to press the issue, insisting that he must be crucified. Pilate grew afraid, concerned about this precarious situation, the intensity that was developing. Pilate spoke again to Jesus, took him in private again, had a conversation with him. And John again says, after that conversation, Pilate was determined to find a way to set Jesus free. In fact, his wife, it says in Matthew, Pilate's wife had a dream and told Pilate, have nothing to do with this man, Jesus. But then the religious leaders sunk the political knife deeply into Pilate. And they said to him, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar, they said to him. That was a clear political threat made against them, against Pilate, by these religious leaders. It was a threat that Pilate couldn't ignore. But he had one last political move to make. He would try to bypass the Jewish leaders and appeal directly to the Jewish people who just days before were celebrating Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. This might be the way that he could outmaneuver the chief priests. But it was apparent that the Jewish leaders had fomented a crowd as they gathered on that day. Pilate said, look, I'll release either Barabbas or I'll release Jesus. Barabbas was a criminal, an insurrectionist who fought against Rome. And they just began to scream angrily, this crowd fomented by the leaders. Let Barabbas free and take Jesus away and crucify him. Crucify him, they yelled. So John records in chapter 19, finally, Pilate, he handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Pilate had no intention to hang that sign above Jesus because he had no intention of crucifying Jesus. This whole episode with Jesus and the chief priests, it was utterly humiliating to Pilate. His power and his authority were challenged. It was manipulated, and he ended up backing down in humiliation out of political concern, political expediency. And it was also quite clear that the chief priests, they did not want that sign to be hung above Jesus' head either. John tells us that when the chief priests looked up upon this cross and saw that sign hanging above Jesus' head, they went directly to Pilate and they demanded that the sign be changed. So that it would only say that this is a man who claimed to be king of the Jews, not that he was king of the Jews. This spectacle was utterly humiliating for the chief priest to witness. I mean, think about it. This was a public event depicting the king of the Jews hanging on a cross for all to see. A cursed tree, the King of the Jews. In their mind, Jesus was a charlatan. And the sight of it all, highlighted by this sign, was a mockery of their religion. See, Pilate used this placard to humiliate them, just as they had humiliated him. How did this sign make its way to hang over Jesus' head on the cross? The chief priests, they did not want it. It was not Pilate's intention to crucify Jesus, nor hang such a sign above his head. Nonetheless, there it was in three languages to be read by everybody: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This sign was written by a divinely guided and inspired hand. Jesus said as much when he told Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it was not given to you from above." What was unfolding, this crucifixion and that sign, was all decreed by God. Why? Why would God want this sign to hang above the head of Christ? Well, as much as this sign was born out of human humiliation, the humiliation of Pilate and the humiliation of the Jewish religious establishment as they vied against one another, above all, this eighth word, it proclaimed from the cross, it was crafted to demonstrate divine humiliation willingly embraced. Let me say that again. It signified divine humiliation willingly embraced. It created a shock spectacle of the written word of truth hanging above Jesus, contrasted against the living word of truth dying below, who was Jesus, the King of Kings. Christ entered this world, the King of the Jews, for this very purpose. He condescended to this world to be humiliated by death, like a lion having, you know, being shorn of its mane. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord, Jesus says in John 10. What's the meaning behind this sign? Well, think about it. First, could there be any greater public declaration of Jesus's innocence? Yeah, on the resurrection, we'll talk about that on Sunday. But here we have the Son of David, born of the line of David, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, put to death. Why? Read the sign. What does it say? He was put to death because he is the King of the Jews. That's what it declared. And this was the only charge by which the powers of this world could accuse this man? That's it? That's what he did? He was put to death for exactly who he was. He had committed no moral transgression worthy of this penalty or any other penalty. He committed no lie. He spoke only the truth. He was the King of the Jews, for the highest power and authority in heaven and earth made him so. He was completely innocent. He did not die for his own iniquity because he had none. And this placard made it clear. We must affirm, secondly, that if this truly is the King of the Jews, then he must also be God in the flesh. No other king was expected to return and rule over all except God in the flesh. God himself, he would be the only king that would come and rule again. Isaiah prophesied about this. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor." And listen to this. "He will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." If this man truly be the King of the Jews, he must truly be God. But we also shouldn't miss the first assertion that's made on that sign: Jesus of Nazareth. Not only was he God, but he was a man born as you and I, who lived in a town, who laughed and cried, who ate and drank, a man who bled blood as you and I would bleed if nails be driven through our wrists. This sign declared his sovereignty as king. This sign declared his divinity. This sign declared his humanity. This sign declared his innocence. And there he hung, humiliated on a cursed tree. What are we to make of this? Look at the sign. Look at the man. Look at the sign. Look at the man. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. What do you make of this man on the cross with this divinely inspired placard sign above his head? In every way, he welcomed this humiliation on his own accord. He embraced it like a foxhole friend jumping on a grenade. He took upon himself the snap of the whip, the insults, the spit, the needle-sharp thorns. He took upon himself the mockery of the robe, the taunt of the religious, the blows to the head, the thirst, the nails, the exhaustion, the asphyxiation, the curse, the death. He took it all on with singleness of heart. Then he hung naked and exposed, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, baking in the sun, then chilled to the bone as the sky turned black as night. Can you see his humiliation? Look at the sign. Look at the man. Why did he do this on his own accord? He did it to take upon himself our humiliation. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteous of God. We're the ones who are naked. We're the ones who are exposed. We're pinned to a cursed tree by our sin, suffering a slow death from which we cannot escape. Like Adam and Eve, we fashion fig leaves to hide our nakedness and shame. But soon we discover our folly and find out there is no place to hide from holy judgment. Our accusers are wholly justified. Indeed, our conscience is enough to prove our sin and guilt. Our enemies want to humiliate us. Satan wants to humiliate us. Sin wants to humiliate us. Death wants to humiliate us. And a holy God should humiliate us. But that's not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted to set you free as if you were Barabbas. Jesus wanted you to be able to declare in your life all of that humiliation and shame, it is finished. He wanted all of that sin, all of those things you've committed, even the things you did that you did not even know were hurtful and wrong, he wanted his Father in heaven to forgive you of all of it, all of it. He wanted you to know that if you pass from this world to the next in this very hour, that indeed you would be in paradise and not suffer humiliation before the eternal seat of judgment. And so he endured humiliation for you. His innocence, his sovereignty, his divinity, his manhood took on your humiliation to set you free. He was despised and rejected, a man of suffering, familiar with grief, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised. We held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted, indeed humiliated. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Look at the sign, look at the man, read the placard written in a language of love that all can understand, which declares to you this day, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, into his hands, commit your spirit and live.